are the American Council of the Blind. We are blind and visually impaired men and women who come from every community within our country. We are tall, short, old, and young. Some of us are athletes, and some of us are couch potatoes, while most of us fall somewhere in between. Some of us who received quality education and sound training are working successfully in virtually every profession. Psychologists, auto mechanics, administrators, computer analysts, cooks, and engineers. We are the American Council of the Blind, working to ensure the right to opportunity for education, training, employment, and a meaningful life for all Americans, including those of us who are blind or who have a significant vision loss. For more information, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
Blind like me, take one.
Hi, everybody. This is Phil Parr inviting you to come and join us for our new show called Blind Like Me. You know about those famous blind people like Ray Charles and Ronnie Millsap and Eric Weinmayer, Jim Snowbarger.
How'd his name get on the list?
I have absolutely no idea. Anyway, you've heard of those blind people, but there are a lot of blind people you've never heard of who do unusual things or have unusual skills. Well, we're going to try to talk to as many of those people as we can. We'll have a cooking show once a month with Dale Campbell. We'll have Don Shaw giving us some websites that are screen reader friendly, some websites that you can navigate. And we'll have input on the show from you. We'll have a special email address that you can send your correspondence to if you know somebody who would be good for the show, if you'd like to be on the show yourself. Well, email us. That'll start July 18th, immediately following The Blind Handyman, which is also moving to Friday night. So come and join us. We'd love to have you. Blind Like Me, starting July 18th over most of this ACB radio station.
ACB Radio.
Good evening, I'm Jonathan Mosen, and we're broadcasting from the Berg. Welcome to Pittsburgh and the 42nd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Let me tell you about what's happening here. We are in the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is a new construction, and in fact, in the words of the great webmasters, it's still under construction. But enough of it is up and running for us to be here. Just on Thursday afternoon, they completed the walkway between the main hotel for the convention, the Westin, and the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. It's a skywalk. You go off the second floor on the Westin Hotel, and then you can move on over to the convention center without having to cross busy Penn Avenue. But even if you do need to do that, they've installed in the last week or so in Pittsburgh audible traffic signals that not only have a locator tone, but also announce that it is okay to cross the particular street that you're wishing to cross. I haven't seen anything like these. They're really quite interesting. So we'll tell you more about that throughout the week when we have breaks in the programming. So we're here for convention. There's that festive atmosphere once again, despite the fact that thunderstorms are predicted any time soon, according to the weather forecast. People are starting to assemble now for the first general session when President Gray brings the convention to order at around about 7:30 Eastern Time. That's in approximately 24 minutes. We'll tell you what we're expecting tonight. The entertainment that we'll cross you shortly and that you can hear in the background is provided by William McDonald, Bill McDonald. He's of Oil City, Pennsylvania. where apparently they drilled the first oil wells in America. So Jay Dardner tells me we've got the crew back again together, I guess for one last time. Jay Dardner and Mike Duke, of course, doing sound and myself here doing the internet broadcasting. At 7:30 p.m., we have the call to order. ACB President Chris Gray will do that. Chris, of course, is of San Francisco, California. The invocation will come from the Reverend Ann Thompson. She's of Little David Baptist Church in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. Following that, there'll be the presentation of the colors and the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America, as well as the Star Spangled Banner, sung this year by Pat Trek of Vancouver in Washington. Following that, we'll have the international welcome. As always, a number of international guests come to the American Council of the Blind to be a part of this significant event in the blindness calendar in the United States. You'll then hear a welcome to Pittsburgh from none other than Jay Dardner, who, as well as being our sound genius, also happens to be president of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind. At 7:45, another welcome. This one will come from Christine Boone. She's the director of the Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Next up, it's always the highlight of this first session, and that is the President's Report, presented, of course, by President Gray this evening. In this report, Chris will summarize some of the significant events that have happened in ACB's last year, and also perhaps look to the future as to some of the challenges that face ACB in the next year.
Did you find a cell phone number yet?
Building Careers and Creating Business Leaders is the title of the next presentation that you will hear as part of this evening's first general session of this 42nd annual convention. That comes from Jim Gibbons, no stranger to ACB conventions. He's the president and CEO of National Industries for the Blind of Alexandria, Virginia. Then we have some more highlights of convention time when ACB salutes those people who have gone that extra mile and are worthy of special notes. First of all, you'll hear a presentation of the Durwood K. McDaniel Ambassador and Distinguished Service Awards. They'll be presented by Teddy Joy Remhild. Then the 2003 Vernon Henley and Ned E. Freeman Awards will be presented. Charles Hodge, the chairman of the Board of Publications, will do that. The Vernon Henley Award is awarded for somebody who has made a particular positive contribution to the image of blind and vision-impaired people in the media. And the Ned Freeman Award is awarded to somebody who has made a contribution to the Braille Forum. You can read all about Ned Freeman, incidentally, in particular, in People of Vision, the history of the American Council of the Blind, and his contribution is well worth remembering and saluting, as is done through this award. Following the presentations of those awards, we move on to life membership presentations. Sometimes life membership is awarded or conferred by various states or special interest affiliates, and life membership can be purchased as well for $1,000. I believe that you can now purchase life membership from the ACB website with PayPal. As they say, it's fast, free and secure, and you'll be supporting the ACB in the process. Christopher Gray and James Olson of Minneapolis, Minnesota will be presenting that. We then go to the roll call of affiliates. This is where we hear from all of the state and special interest affiliates. We find out who is going to be their delegate, who's going to be the alternate delegate, who'll serve on the nominating committee, and, of course, how many chairs are needed. You can tell I've been here a few times, can't you? 10 past 10 is when we're scheduled to have the first credentials report that will come from Judy Cannon in Massachusetts, who these days is the chair of the Credentials Committee. And the scheduled time for adjournment is 10:15. So, well, there's a bit of optimism creeping into the agenda already. We'll see how we go. And we'll stay with you right throughout the night and cover the first general session of the ACB. 42nd Annual Convention. Now, as is normally the case, we are inviting you to make any comments, ask any questions, and we'll seek to clarify anything for you. If there's anything that interests you and you want to share your feedback with us as the evening progresses, you can contact us. We will soon open up the MSN Instant Messenger, and also you'll be able to email us. In either case, you can use convention@acbradio.org to get in touch with us. That's convention@acbradio.org. A number of things to look for this week. It's been a year of, I guess, tumult in some ways, considerable controversy in other ways, and of course successes that President Grabe will summarise this evening. But I think there'll be some pretty fascinating resolutions to come from the Resolutions Committee. This is, of course, the chance for members to seek to establish an organisation-wide position on a range of issues. And also the Constitution and Bylaws Committee has been hard at work. As well as that, there'll be some fascinating presentations from a range of presenters, and we will summarise those for you. If you're curious about who's going to be speaking when, you can always go to the ACB Radio convention page at www.acbradio.org and choose the first link at the top of the page, and you'll find all the details about times of broadcast, etc. And also, of course, a link to the main ACB website's convention coverage, from which you can have a look at the program for the convention. We are around about 15 minutes away now from the start of the 42nd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind, coming to you from Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. And we're going to go and hear from the entertainment now, which we've been able to hear a little bit in the background, but it's worth hearing in its glory. It's from Bill McDonald of Oil City in Pennsylvania. And let's patch you through to what we're hearing in the auditorium and listen to the entertainment.
Yes. Why don't we come down this way? What is your name?
Ann Thompson.
Hi, Ann. Oh, hi, Ann. Why don't we have come down here? Because we're going to have the president and so forth sit over here. And so why don't we come down here?
listening to live coverage of the American Council of the Blind's convention coming to you from the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in Pittsburgh. And you can get in touch with us by emailing convention@acbradio.org. You can also MSN message us at that same address. Joe Sorensen's been in touch with us, and Joe and Jenny couldn't get to the convention this year, so they say they appreciate that ACB Radio is here once again bringing you coverage of the convention. And Joe has asked, will we be broadcasting the Friends in Art Showcase on Tuesday evening? And the answer is an unfortunate no. The reason for that is that normally the Friends in Art Showcase takes place at the same venue from which the general sessions come, so it's no big deal to stream it. And in the last 3 years, Friends and I have been happy for us to do that, but this time it's in a completely different place where we can't stream, and so we will not be able to bring you the Friends and Art Showcase live this year, and we apologize for that. And thank you for getting in touch, Joe and Jenny. We'll be happy to answer your questions throughout the night. If we don't get to all of them tonight, we'll certainly do so tomorrow at convention@acbradio.org. So feel free to keep those messages coming in. We are now at 7:29 Eastern Time, so soon Chris Gray, President of the American Council of the Blind, will call this 42nd Annual National Convention to order.
out this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make sure everyone knows that we do have assistive listening devices available. They are available at the information desk here in the lobby. We're outside here over at the information desk. So where Pam Shaw is, if you need an assistive listening device, pick one up there. We're going to start momentarily.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 42nd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. I'm Chris Gray, your president. Delighted to be here. Thank you. I'll be getting over the stage fright tonight, and I'd like to begin the program tonight by introducing to you, for our invocation, the Reverend Ann Thompson of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, from the Little David Baptist Church. Thank you very much, Ann Thompson.
May we stand, please. As we begin the week of much, much activity, we realize we need the help of God. We need unity and harmony among ourselves. So as we come at this moment, may we bow our heads and thank God for allowing us to come. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. How great thou art, our God. And we thank you for allowing us to come, for granting us traveling mercies, bringing us over the highway. We thank for those who are in charge and those who have worked diligently to bring about this 42nd convention to a beautiful conclusion. As we begin even now, we ask for unity and harmony among those that are in charge, our president, and all of those who will be officiating this week. Give wisdom and clarification of all that must be done. We may be able to help each other and show the love you have shown to us that we might give to each other. Let your perfect will be done among each one of us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thank you very much.
We will now have the presentation of the colors and the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. You'll be signaled when it's the right time to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And to sing the national anthem is Pat Schreck of Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the ones bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, banner yet wave
Are they gone?
You can all be seated now. Thank you very much to the presenters of the Color Guard, and thank you very much, Pat. That was beautiful. The next item on our agenda is the international welcome, and to bring that to us tonight, I would like to present to you Marvelena Quesada.
You don't need to lean into it. You can just speak straight into it. It's pretty good.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. ACB is and always has been a richly multicultural organization, blessed with capable and talented people from many walks of life. With almost 50 state affiliates and 20 special interest groups, we remain the most active consumer organization in this country. From the national... From the National Alliance of Blind Students to the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, we cover the gamut. And now with ACB Radio, streaming 24 hours a day and bringing our convention to the world, ACB has become a worldwide name. To highlight the international welcome and the identity that ACB has achieved, I bring you now a series of international welcomes. They speak to blind Americans of foreign descent and to blind people throughout the world. First, in Spanish, from Madrid, Spain, the president of the International Blind Sports Association and a prominent member of ONCE, Mr. Enrique Perez. Microphone problem.
Hola, muy buenas tardes, señoras y señores, amigos. Soy Enrique Pérez. Ahora sí va. Muy buenas tardes a todos. Soy Enrique Pérez, vengo de Madrid, España. Quiero, en mi nombre y en nombre de los organizadores de la 42 edición de esta convención del Consejo Nacional de Ciegos, American Council of the Blind, darles a todos pues la bienvenida, agradecer su asistencia aquí a todos los que han recorrido tantísimos miles de kilómetros para poder estar juntos, y es una enorme satisfacción para mí poder también compartir con todos ustedes en estos días las excelentes experiencias, oportunidades e intercambio de ideas y de ilusiones de todos los que están aquí presentes. En ese sentido, pues quiero también agradecer la oportunidad que me ha brindado the American Council of the Blind para poder también compartir y aprender también juntos un poquito más de la situación, de los problemas que todos los ciegos y deficientes visuales tenemos. Bienvenidos a todos y muchas gracias.
Next, in French, from Montreal, from Quebec, Montreal, a member of Visuaid Incorporated, André Dubois.
Bonsoir à tous. Merci de votre belle invitation. Laissez-moi vous souhaiter, distingué membre de l'American Council for the Blind, une très belle 42e convention. Laissez-moi aussi vous exprimer toute mon admiration pour cette belle structure et pour toutes les lumières que vous pouvez apporter dans le monde en donnant de nouvelles horizons aux personnes aveugles. Merci et bonne soirée à tous.
From Tel Aviv, Israel, the president of Vertouch Incorporated, Mr. Arnold Roth.
Small correction, from Jerusalem.
Oh, I apologize. Forgive me.
Forgive me. גבירותיי ורבותיי, שלום וברוכים הבאים בוועידה השנתית ה-42 של המועצה האמריקאית לעברים. תודה רבה. כל טוב.
From Delhi, India, and currently residing in Syracuse, New York, and attending Syracuse University, Mr. Jags Yakurdin.
Namaskar. Hindustan ke tamam netrahin doston ki taraf se jo ki aaj yahan nahi aa paaye hain, main American Council of the Blind ki is 42nd convention mein aap sab ka swagat karta hoon. Aasha hai aap sab iska bharpoor fayda uthayenge aur isko puri tarah iska maza lenge. Puri shubhkamnaon ke saath main Jai Hind. Dhanyawad.
In Japanese, from South Dakota, currently residing in Tokyo, Japan, Mr. Walter Spillum.
Minasama anata no ABC Convention, omerito gozaimasu to irashaimase, minasama mo ichido Hiroshima, Massey, North Dakota.
And last but not least, certainly not least, from Washington, D.C., in English, a current board member of ACB and someone we all know very well, Mr. Oral O. Miller.
Thank you. As a longtime member of ACB, who has been privileged to meet several of our very interesting international guests beforehand, I want to welcome all of you in my own native language, that of Eastern Kentucky. Everyone to this 42nd ACB National Convention. And to wish you well as you take part in this extraordinary week. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. That concludes the international welcome.
Thank you, Marvelyn, and thank you, Oral, for all that you do for us internationally. And thank you to the ACB affiliates, and there are so many of them, from Iowa to Mississippi and all over the country, who work internationally, sponsoring people all over the world to come to this country and find out what we do here. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you, for a Pittsburgh discussion, the head of the local host committee and the president of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, ladies and gentlemen, Jay Doudna. Thank you. Thank you all very much. And welcome to Pennsylvania. We're certainly glad to have you here. Now, I certainly can't talk like and speak in all those languages from the international, and I'm not a Pittsburgh native. But I spent 4 years here in college at Slippery Rock University in western Pennsylvania, and I learned that you can say yuns out here, so I hope yuns all going to have a good time.
And I also want to make sure that you're all drinking cans of pop, not cans of soda. And remember, when you're tying something together, you're tying it together with a gum band, not a rubber band. There's a Pittsburghese book available, and I don't know whether it's in the gift shop in the Westin, but there is a great Pittsburghese book around. And if you want to learn Pittsburghese, find that book and take it back to wherever you're from, because it's lots of fun. I got to tell you, we're very excited when we learned that we were going to be hosting this. We're very excited because the people here in Pittsburgh, the Golden Triangle chapter, the president, Mr. Gene Barton, have done a great job. And I want to recognize each one of these people because it's very important. We'll do this quickly, but it's very important that I do this. Gene is the chair of our host committee out here, and they did a lot of work. And what Gene did was he assigned tasks to various people. And a couple of these people, well, all of the people did their tasks and did them well. We met weekly until just this past week when we did the final things. I want to mention these people really quick, and I hope you get a chance to meet them this week. Gene Barton, you met him last night. Marie Keene, Mike Gravett, Bill and Bonnie Newland, Mike and Judy Zakin, and Joyce Dribben. Those people really made this thing happen, to put it together and work with Cynthia and work with the staff here in Pittsburgh. You've used those audible signs. Gene tells me he was out there, just put them in last week, and Gene tells me that they still have some work to do on them. We know that, but it was a great start. The Golden Triangle chapter has been working on that for more than a year and a half, and they finally made it happen. You've met some of the great Pittsburgh people. One of the things I was most excited about when I came to Western Pennsylvania, and I've been out here quite often since I left Slippery Rock back in the 60s, but one of the things I was most excited about was to meet the wonderful people of Pittsburgh. You've met, we have more than 300 volunteers this weekend and this week from Pittsburgh. And I want you to know that you met a lot of them the past couple of days, quite a few of them at the airport, quite a few of them will be around at the Westin, the Hilton, and of course here in the convention center. And with Marjorie working with them, you know that things are going to go well, and they are very willing to help. So don't hesitate to ask anybody from Pittsburgh for assistance. That restaurant list, Gene and Bonnie and Bill Newland worked on that restaurant list along with Mike Zakin for a couple of months pulling that together. And then the local restaurant association, the downtown association, paid for the brailing of that. And so that didn't cost us anything. And I want to show you the support that we were able to get from this community, because we were able to save the American Council of the Blind close to $5,000, because all the computers we're using were donated, all the printers we're using, the materials used in the press room were all donated for a cost of over $5,000 in savings. That's one of the ways we think we can support the American Council of the Blind as the Pennsylvania affiliate. Finally, I want to say that the shirts that we're selling at our booth, a portion of each one of those sales of those shirts, these are golf shirts, I'm wearing one tonight. It says Pittsburgh 2003. It has the ACB logo on it, which says American Council of the Blind, and then the ACB in the middle of it. And below it, it says National Convention. These are royal blue with white letters. A portion of each one of those shirts, the price of those shirts, is going to be donated to the ACB. So when you go buy that shirt, remember you're helping ACB also. Thank you. We hope you're enjoying your time here. We want you to remember this as being one of the best conventions ever. Thank you for making this a great convention. We hope you enjoy it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce someone who I've had the pleasure of working with over the past couple of years, since she's taken over the directorship of our blindness and visual services here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. She's a lady who brings a lot of talent and abilities to her office. And we are really pleased to say that with all the budget problems and things that we've had in the state of Pennsylvania with respect to monies, Blindness and Visual Services is doing A-OK just the same. So here for a Blindness and Visual Services welcome is Ms. Chris Boone.
Good evening. And in the spirit of the evening, buonasera, bonsoir, buenos tardes, and guten Abend. I am Chris Boone, and I'm the director of the Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services. It's really a pleasure for me to be here and to be able to welcome all of you to the Keystone State and to the city of Pittsburgh. It's funny, since we've been here, I've heard several people comment on how beautiful Pittsburgh is and what a surprise that was to them. And I can tell you that we shared that surprise when we came here a number of years ago, because this is a beautiful city, and we're very happy to be able to show it off to all of you as you're here for this ACB convention. Now, Jay talked about those golf shirts, but he didn't tell you about the umbrellas that the PCB is selling. Am I allowed to say that, John Horst? Anyway, all right, they are really nice umbrellas. They are like an American flag motif. They're totally awesome. I already have mine. So I would urge all of you to visit table 79 in the exhibit hall and pick up a golf shirt and an umbrella. I think that you can tell by Jay's genuine comments that I am very pleased to call many members of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind my friends. And I really am so pleased to be able to say that we have a wonderful working relationship with the Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services, with the American Council of the Blind. And I'll illustrate that if I can just a little bit. First, I'm pleased to tell you that as the Bureau Director, I do give staff educational or administrative leave to attend the ACB convention. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that. Last fall, we had John Horst, the executive director of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, and a member of the Capital Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania, came to me and said, "We want to have an accessible voting machine demonstration." And I have to tell you, those of you who know John, he's been organizing conventions for years and years. He is an organizer's organizer. And so we had an outstanding demonstration. It was in our state capitol, in the rotunda, of accessible voting machines. I think we had seven different companies there with accessible voting machines, and it was fantastic. And I know there's at least one, probably more than that, accessible voting machines in the exhibit hall. So that was a wonderful thing for us to be able to do in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind. And we educated a lot of folks. We have this Wednesday there is a forum or a meeting on accessible voting right here in Pittsburgh. So I'm sure your council members from Pittsburgh will be encouraging you guys to attend that. And anything that you can do to provide input is a great thing. You know, one of the things that we need as agency directors, and I feel very strongly about this, is the input of our consumers, whether they are affiliated with the council, with the federation, or with no organization at all. And we have that input here in Pennsylvania, and I can honestly say that the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind really has led the way in terms of providing input to us as an agency in a very helpful, friendly, diplomatic way. And we appreciate that working relationship that we've been able to have. Another thing that we've done is to have a Braille literacy celebration every January for the last 3 years. Um, Until this year, it was in the rotunda of our state capitol, and actually last year, it was sponsored by the Speaker of the House. And it was just an awesome celebration of Braille literacy. We have young children come. Jay Dowdner brought a student from the Overbrook School for the Blind a couple of years ago who read Harry Potter in Braille for everyone. It was just awesome. It's awesome. And some of you may know one of the most recent additions to our staff. We needed to hire a manager in the Philadelphia District Office, which is kind of a challenging little office to run. And we hired this person, let's see, I think she works at the ACB Information Desk. Pam Shaw is her name. Pam has been such an asset to our agency and to our management staff. We only have six managers, so one-sixth of our manager team is the American Council of the Blind. And Pam is doing a fantastic job for us. I'm very pleased to have her as a partner and as a part of our staff. Now, I don't want to get in trouble for going over my time. So I'm going to just once again thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here. And I want to wish you all a fantastic, fantastic convention. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris. Great.
You bet. Thank you. I'll shake your hand.
How's everybody doing? Can you hear okay? All right. It's always hard to know up here exactly what's going on. And there's so much space out there tonight that it's hard to hear you all up here. It's an amazing place, isn't it? Well, I'm now going to make a few presidential remarks. At least I hope they're presidential. A few remarks, anyway. Before I do, I want to just say a few informal things. One is that I'm taking a big risk tonight. I'm using a Braille note to do my remarks. I've never done this before, but there's no time like the present, right? I also want to say that through this last year, I've had a few things happen to me. I had a bad accident in the first of the year, and as you all know, my dad passed away, and I want to thank everybody in ACB who called, who wrote, who sent cards. It's hard to know when to fit that into a speech, but you don't know how I appreciated it, and it was wonderful to hear from all of you, so thank you very much. And there are two people I'm going to recognize, because I know they're both in the audience, who have worked with me and advised me and talked with me all the time about what's happening in ACB and what to do. One is Marva Lennon, sitting here at the head table. And I also want to say thank you to my mother, who is somewhere in the audience. ACB is a family affair, and that's part of what makes it a wonderful organization. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to build my remarks and bring information to you about the American Council of the Blind around three key words: coalition, cooperation, and consensus. These are core words that have shaped who and what we are throughout the first four decades of our life as an organization. Words that convey much about our place in the civil rights movement of America. Words that help guide us this week and into the future. Early in its life, ACB embraced the idea of coalition with others for the purpose of achieving common goals. We were the first disability group ever to join forces with the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights. We were also the first organization of the blind and remain the only national organization of the blind to be active in coalition with the disabled community as a whole. The founders of ACB recognized clearly that there was a limit to what the blind community could achieve on its own. By creating relationships with others, the extent of our reach and the accomplishments to be achieved would increase more quickly and more broadly to achieve greater equality for the blind. Tonight, I'd like to announce to you one exciting event, speaking of the founding of ACB and the things that we stood for and stand for today, and that is the publication at last of the ACB history. It took basically 10 years to get it done, and I know many of us wondered if it would get done, but here we are with our history finally in hand. And Leroy Saunders, if you're near the front, would you walk up on the podium for just a moment? When he was president of ACB, Leroy was 100% supportive of the history and 100% behind getting this done. And I'm sorry to say that through nobody's fault, Leroy cannot be at the History Gala on Wednesday, and we would love to have him there, but he has other commitments. And because you can't be there, Leroy, I want to present to you the first copy of the ACB history with my thanks. Can you believe how big it is?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You want to sing?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess I owe Charlie Hodge $10 now. I don't mind telling you, I got very discouraged because it was taking so long to get this history written. And I guess it was last year, Charlie and I were talking, and I was kind of complaining to him about how long it would take. And he says, well, it'll be through next year. I said, I'm beginning to have my doubts, Charlie. He said, I'll bet you $10. I said, I'll take you up. So now I got to pay him. Thank you so much.
All right, getting back to my remarks, let me introduce to you tonight a new form of coalition activity in which ACB has now engaged. I'm proud to announce to you this evening the establishing of an ACB Advisory Council, a coalition of organizations gathering together to add strength and stability to ACB's financial future. The Advisory Council grew out of corporate relationships that have been undertaken with companies like Verizon, IBM Corporation, and Bank of America. By looking outward, we strengthen ourselves internally. We will first use the Advisory Council to engage in a process of what is called friend raising and to assist us in gaining better recognition of the name American Council of the Blind throughout the donor community of our country. In contacting major philanthropic entities around the U.S., it has become painfully clear to me that ACB has not had significant name recognition, and without that, it is difficult to open many doors of funding that would otherwise be available to us. The Corporate Advisory Council and the process of friend raising, instead of fundraising, is a proven effective means of overcoming difficulties of recognition. Corporate Advisory Councils also work to provide real funding avenues, direct avenues, to the organization they represent, which is another significant benefit to ACB. The establishing of such a council in no way changes the structure or functioning of ACB. It acts as a powerful funding supplement to help us gather the resources to do the work we know is so vital to blind people. While we're on the topic of increasing our financial resources, I'd like to remind you of the power we hold among ourselves to substantially increase ACB's annual income. It is in our monthly monetary support program. The American Council of the Blind has the potential to raise as much as $500,000 per year, with an average monthly donation by each member of, take a quick guess, something like $15 or $20. Note that the word average. If you're more comfortable with $10 per month, that's great. The monthly monetary support program gives each member of ACB the chance to contribute in ways we probably couldn't do otherwise. Giving $15 per month isn't so hard, but giving one check at the end of the year for $180 might be impossible for many of us. You'll be hearing more about this program during the week, and I encourage each ACB member, friend, and supporter to consider becoming involved in this program. Another way we can increase funding and membership at the same time is to pursue the providing of more services to ACB members. One such service might be to help ourselves receive more and better health care opportunities. I've asked the ACB membership to fill out a survey regarding your interest in ACB's launching a series of healthcare initiatives for our members. Healthcare is one of the gravest lacks in America generally, and certainly within our community. With participation, with interest, we can change that for ACB members. I encourage all of you to take the time to complete the survey included in the Braille Forum and on the ACB website. We have an opportunity to create a significant coalition with a major healthcare provider, and I'd like to see us use it. Another coalition that has provided great benefit to ACB is that created to bring out legislation for video description. Can you imagine we, ACB, but we, along with the coalition, got Senator John McCain to sponsor our legislation? Now, what about that second word, cooperation? To a degree, the Video Description Coalition is about cooperation as much as coalition, because it is an informal entity with no legal structure. A desire to achieve legislation through cooperative efforts keeps it alive as well. ACB has accomplished many other things through cooperation with others as well. A prime example of this is our work with a group of organizations, including the National Council of Private Agencies for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Cooperation is an essential part of ACB's heritage and how we have always chosen to operate in our movement. As a council, one of the fundamental bases on which we work together is cooperation. We must work cooperatively together with no single entity of ACB overwhelming any other or having requirements for one overwhelm another. Because of my fundamental belief in this, I've been very saddened by some of the rumors I've heard regarding ACB, Guide Dog Users Incorporated, and the Iowa Council of the United Blind. Let me now do my best to expel at least some of these rumors. First, the Iowa Council of the United Blind has done nothing to harm or work against the rights of any user of a guide dog user in that state. Second, there is no disagreement I know of anywhere in this organization regarding the absolute correctness of GDUI's pursuit of what they believe to be the civil rights of blind guide dog users. And finally, in an advisory meeting and by resolution yesterday, the ACB Board of Directors has affirmed ACB's commitment to making its resources, financial and otherwise, available to fight for the rights of dog guide users. The Iowa situation is complex. We made some mistakes organizationally by not building better consensus up front. Nevertheless, civil rights are being sought there, and that's very important to keep in mind. In another case, we were more successful. And that is the case in Georgia, where the ACB, the Georgia Council of the Blind, and the Randolph Shepherd vendors worked together in cooperation to find ways to help some guide dog users in the BEP program fight against rules that were causing them to keep their guide dogs in crates all day in a parking garage while they were working in their stands. In cooperation together, ACB and these other two organizations in Georgia went to the director of the Agency for the Blind, to the supervisor of rehabilitation services, and to the governor of Georgia. And ladies and gentlemen, in 2 weeks, we had an affirmative answer saying that this would stop. Third, let's talk a little bit about consensus. Consensus is very important because it is through consensus that we can get the most done. Sure, you can have a vote on something, you can ordain something, but truly, only by coming to the point of consensual agreement among our whole organization and between us and other organizations are we ever going to be able to get everything done that we want to get done. Consensus is perhaps the greatest way to find a voice of strength in the work that we do. So I like to work toward that, and I hope that we can continue to work toward that in the American Council of the Blind. During this week, as we do every year in ACB, we have an upcoming election, and I would be very proud, very honored to serve once again as president of the American Council of the Blind. We have undertaken a number of programs over the last 2 years, and it would be wonderful to be able to continue those and see them grow into greater fruition. It takes a long time to get things started. It takes a long time to pursue initiatives. But we have done some wonderful things. For example, look at the education initiatives that came out of our education task force and are now working their way through the Congress of the United States. We are succeeding in changing the way blind children are educated in America. I'm excited to have an ad hoc committee on rehabilitation. And I must say to you tonight, the American Council of the Blind has said, and we will continue to say, that we cannot accept the status quo in rehabilitation systems. We must work to affirm the rights of blind people to have freedom of choice in the way that they receive rehabilitation. That doesn't mean that all rehab going on today is bad. There's some great rehabilitation going on around this country, but there are certain rights and certain ideas that have been pushed to the side that we would like to bring forward in new and innovative ways. This committee is working on a document to describe an ACB position, as we did with our education task force, and you'll be seeing and hearing much more about that in the months to come. At this convention, you're going to hear a lot about a topic that affects all of us every day of our lives, transportation. It took a long time to find the right people, but I did find the right people in Ron Brooks and Alice Richhart to chair this committee. And through their leadership and through the committee's leadership, we created and undertook the first online and Braille forum survey of the membership that has ever been done by a consumer organization of blind people. And I thank those hundreds of people who filled out their surveys and allowed the voice of the membership to be heard as we establish new policy and work toward new legislation in transportation. We've also been hard at work in the area of conventions. And this is a wonderful convention. And you know, I've never been to an ACB convention that isn't a wonderful convention. But if you think this is good, if you think this is good, what we have in store for you? How about 2005 in Las Vegas, Nevada? And it's all under one roof, too. 2006, we're going to go to a place that's almost resort-like. It's on a boardwalk. It's right by the ocean. You can get on boats and ride around to restaurants and so forth. We'll be in Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, we'll be in two properties, but those properties are only about 50 feet away from each other with great connectivity, and we'll be using both of them for the ACB convention. And one person, I'll bet, is happier than almost anybody else about this, Jim Olson, because we're going to meet in his hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We've talked about meeting in his home, too, but he isn't so happy about that. Don't forget next year to think about and come to a convention in a place that many of you may never have been, but a place where if enthusiasm will make a great convention, if welcome will make people want to be there, you will be in a phenomenal part of the country, and that's Birmingham, Alabama. David and Rhonda Trott and our whole Alabama affiliate have been bugging me and the convention committee for at least the last 6 months. Put us to work, they say, and we're about to do that. So we've had a lot going on in the area of conventions, and it's very exciting. There are many other things that I shouldn't go into. We always have this pressure of time at conventions, and I just want to say that It has been a wonderful 2 years. I hope to have another wonderful 2 years. And there are so many things that we in ACB, the membership, regardless of what office you hold or what function you've done, can be proud of. I'm proud to be in ACB, and I'm proud to be with you this week. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, very much. It is now my great pleasure to introduce our keynote speaker this evening, a gentleman from an organization that we've heard an awful lot of things about over the years, National Industries for the Blind. If you haven't been able to get over to the exhibit area and get a copy of the NIB annual report, I hope you'll do so. There are words in there that might surprise many of you, might shock a few of you. There are words like promoting economic independence for blind people. There are words like creating equality for blind people. And this gentleman, our keynote speaker tonight, is going to talk with us probably a little about NIB, but a lot about a program which will really raise a lot of blind people into areas of activity and employment they may not ever have seen before. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to bring to you now the Executive Director of the National Industries for the Blind, Mr. Jim Gibbons.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for that. It's a good live mic.
Thank you very much, Chris. As I was leaving my house this morning, my oldest son, Thomas, asked me where I was going. I told him I was going to Pittsburgh. And he asked me if I could bring him back a Pittsburgh Pirates hat and a bobblehead. If somebody could tell me after I get done here what a bobblehead is, I'd really appreciate it. Thomas is a big baseball fan, and it reminds me of last summer. He was in the backyard, and he was playing with his ball and bat, and he said, "Dad, watch this." He said, "I'm the world's greatest hitter," and he threw his baseball up, and he swung, and he missed, and he said, "Strike one." So he said, "Watch, Daddy." No, his determination did not falter. He throws the ball up again, swung as hard as he could, strike two. Without skipping a beat, he picks up the baseball, he throws it up, concentrating, swings, missed. Strike three. He said, "Dad, I'm the world's greatest pitcher, too." So I think it's always important to always kind of think about your perspective and the attitude that you have. I'm really glad to be here. And I'm very excited about the opportunities that this convention presents to create more and more dialogue between NIB and the American Council of the Blind. But the first thing that I want to say to everyone about National Industries for the Blind is that we are not your father's NIB. We did, though, grow out of the sheltered workshop movement. And there's no denying that, nor would I even want to deny that. But our industry's programs today are innovative and exciting places to work. And I know that so many of you have recognized that. And I appreciate it when you, so many of you in this audience, have personally spoken to me. You have shown your support to the work and for the work that our agencies around the country have done to respond to the changing environment and the changing employment needs of people who are blind, especially the input from the consumer movement requiring us to create innovative and aesthetically pleasing work environments. And I appreciate the input that the community has given me personally, day in and day out, during my tenure at NIB, especially folks like Chris Gray, the president of ACB, the former president, Paul Edwards, the executive director, Charlie Crawford, Carl Augusto, who I know is in the audience today, folks from throughout the community that have given me great support, great insight, and great perspective. As I said before, we are not your father's NIB. Let me explain to you further what I mean by that. First, Chris mentioned this, but we're pleased to announce that our board of directors has approved a substantial investment in our new business leaders program, and it offers three tracks of business leadership development to folks who are blind. The first track, the Leadership Development Fellowship, is a two-year rotational program, and it'll combine experience-based learning with a formal curriculum. Fellows will be blind individuals who demonstrate leadership competencies and a high potential to succeed and prosper in management and leadership positions. And at the completion of the fellowship, successful fellows will be placed in management jobs at competitive salary levels within NIB or within one of our agencies in our network of associated agencies around the country. The second track is a business management training program. 2 weeks of immersion training integrated with on-the-job training. And through this very intense training, individuals will develop the core competencies of effective business leaders and managers. The desired outcome of the business management training program is to develop blind professionals who have the qualities required to be an effective business manager and leader. And the third track, Leaders at All Levels, is designed and targeted for the direct and indirect labor employees throughout our associated agencies. This training program will consist of 1 to 2 days of training and a curriculum that includes courses in interpersonal communication, conflict management, quality principles, general business administration, and the Javits-Wagner-O'Day program. And the desired outcome of the Leaders at All Levels program is to develop all employees to be business leaders, to take initiative, to enhance their careers, and to improve the overall effectiveness of the organization. And I'm hoping that this track will also serve as a feeder to the business management training track as well. I certainly recognize that when you look across our network of associated agencies, we don't have a lot of individuals who are blind in the top spot. Only about 10% of the agency CEOs associated with NIB are blind. Now, I'm not a personal believer that every CEO should be blind, but I think the best person for the job is the best person to be the CEO. But I also think what we're doing through this program is we're building a pipeline of executive and managerial talent. We're putting our money where our mouth is when it comes to upward mobility within our program. The folks that we're training will one day have the skills needed to take the places of the CEOs and the executive teams that will be retiring out in, say, the next 5 to 10 years. We've begun the recruiting initiative, and we're now developing the curriculum for the program. The Leadership Development Fellowship is beginning this fall. And if you think this is something you might be interested in learning more about, please stop by our booth in the exhibit hall. And this is just one example of how we've grown and matured in response to the feedback and the pressures to and on our program. The voices of employees who are blind within our associated agencies matter, and we actively solicit their feedback. This past fall, NIB engaged International Survey Research, an independent research firm, to perform a comprehensive employee opinion survey. And with over 2,000 of our associated agencies' employees responding, we learned a great deal. And we learned it through 70 questions throughout the survey, covering topics such as management and supervision, pay and benefits, working conditions, commitment, and job satisfaction. The results of the survey, I think, were very positive, especially compared to national survey data compiled by ISR from more than 2 million employees of commercial firms nationwide. Employees at NIB's associated agencies reported scores an average of 10% more favorable across survey categories compared to these national normative data. And let me give you some of the highlights. More than 94% of employees surveyed reported that they're proud of their work. 96% also reported that they feel that the job that they're performing is important to their organization. And compared with manufacturing firms across this country, NIB's associated agencies' employees gave significantly more favorable responses to statements such as agency management is interested in the well-being of employees, or my agency has a good reputation with our customers. You know, we also got some input that showed us that we've got areas to improve, areas to focus on. And like good employees in most world-class organizations, employees throughout our agencies want better pay and benefits and more varied opportunities. So we're focusing on enhancing the career opportunities that provide even better pay and benefits and more opportunities. For example, over the last 5 years, we've grown employment by nearly 18%. Over half of the new job opportunities that we've developed have been in the services sector. And throughout our network of associated agencies and at NIB, we have people who are blind in all categories in professional positions. As a matter of fact, at NIB, I have about 20 blind colleagues in every professional functional area throughout the organization, and that includes human resources, marketing, program management, sales, public relations, technology, engineering, and so on, from the receptionist to the CEO. Another area that we were told by employees in our associated agencies in which we need to invest more attention is safety and safety training. And we're listening to all of the concerns. I actually think that the safety question is pretty interesting, because a few years ago we did a study that showed that incident rates for safety and for injury rates within NIB's associated agencies have been on a steady decline since 1995. And the study showed that our agencies tend to have incidents of injuries and illnesses at rates comparable or lower than that experienced by industries performing similar manufacturing or service functions. But the results of the survey tell us that our employees want more safety training, and I think want more information about what's going on in the workplace to ensure their well-being. So we're listening, and we're making sure that this is done. Now, even though a great deal of emphasis has been put on the development of service opportunities, we also know that there's a great need for meaningful career opportunities and employment in a manufacturing setting. And while the United States as a whole has seen a rise in services work, 13 million Americans are still employed in the manufacturing sector, in manufacturing firms. And if you consider that that's approximately 10% of the nation's working-aged adults, it's important that these same opportunities be available to people who are blind. And our associated agencies provide choices for both manufacturing and manufacturing professional opportunities. And how many manufacturing firms throughout this country are hiring people who are blind in any significant way? Now, let me make a little pivot here to the legislative front. There are a few laws that are very important to NIB in terms of how we operate, where we operate, and what we do. And those are the Javits-Wagner O'Day Act, the Department of Education's Rehabilitation Services Act, and certainly the Fair Labor Standards Act. Let me focus this evening on one that I believe is very important to this membership and is definitely important to me. When I first joined NIB, the issue of sub-minimum wages came up time and time again. And 3.5 years ago, NIB took a position that a person whose only disability is blindness should never earn less than at least the minimum wage. In other words, the condition of blindness should not be used as a reason to pay sub-minimum wage when employed throughout our industries or anywhere else for that matter. So I'm real excited to share with everybody that we've taken a position and we've advanced it forward, because on June 7th, our board of directors supported me to work with the consumer movement to craft legislation to modify Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act in such a way that ensures the payment of at least the federal minimum wage to persons whose only disability is blindness. And I think that this, coupled with the true meaning of choice, that an individual has a right to choose where they work, are significant moves in shaping our future and leveraging our system to create meaningful career opportunities at all levels for people who are blind. And this brings me to where NIB is headed. And have you ever heard the famous saying that success is a journey, not a destination? I want to share with you a little bit about our journey and, I guess, my vision for our future. In the future, NIB will be a catalyst for creating business leaders who are blind, blind managers, executives, and CEOs within our program and throughout corporate America. In the future, our business partnerships with our associated agencies, the National Association for the Employment of People Who Are Blind, the American Council of the Blind, corporations, and with the federal government will serve as a window of opportunity for our business leaders and our teammates who are blind. And our partnerships will allow them to advance their careers through a variety of venues. In the future, the consumer movement and our network of associated agencies will work together to create a broader array of opportunities for people who are blind. And we will stay committed to ensuring that excellent facility-based employment opportunities are part of that employment equation until such time that the unemployment rate for people who are blind is equal to that of our sighted counterparts. In the future, service opportunities will provide more and more employment options for Americans who are blind. By harnessing technology and helping employees refine their skills, we will match trained and capable individuals with great opportunities. Service jobs are the wave of the future, and we are riding it. We will reinvent our image with the blind and other members of our communities where our associated agencies call home. And the communities will know about our programs and they'll be cognizant of the socioeconomic value of them. And they'll recognize our associated agencies as employers of choice. And in the future, I hope that each and every one of you, as members of our communities, will be proponents of our program. In the future, through both training and employment, we will be collectively lowering the unemployment rate of Americans who are blind. Throughout each of our operations, we will align talents, we will build an enabling and supportive infrastructure for the future, we'll mentor employees, groom our successors, and position our agencies to be better by developing the skills and the talents of our employees. We will ensure that people who are blind are employed at all business levels and will encourage positive dissent and constructive solutions. As employers of choice, we will utilize creative and competitive recruiting procedures, matching the passions and the talents of folks of individuals with jobs that they will succeed in. And our future is bright because we operate with a fundamental belief in the capabilities of people, of individuals who are blind. Our mission is so critically relevant, and with the American Council of the Blind, we are enhancing opportunities for economic and personal independence of folks who are blind by creating, sustaining, and most of all, improving employment. While 70% of blind Americans are still not working, it is my hope that with our collective, continued perseverance and success, we will help build careers and create business leaders that in turn will make a dent in this historically discouraging statistic. Our associated agencies are creating career choices for the diverse career needs and employment needs of their employees. They offer opportunities to work in industrial and non-industrial settings and to develop new and different skill sets while meeting the demanding market needs of our federal customers. Whether it's providing the warehouse and distribution functions for the Department of Defense, the Defense Logistics Agency in North Carolina, Texas, or Arizona, or whether it's handling the order processing for the General Services Administration in Burlington, New Jersey, we are proving day in and day out that blind people have great and diverse talents and diverse and deliver quality solutions that meet the needs of an incredibly challenging marketplace. In particular, the federal government and the U.S. Armed Forces. And who else deserves only the best? Choice is the ultimate objective for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what, whether we have a disability or not. It's what makes us Americans, and it gives us dignity. We want choice in everything we do, from where we spend our money, to where we live, to where we work. So, in conclusion, I want to express how excited I am about the ongoing potential of growing our relationship with the ACB, listening to the ACB, and having a constructive dialogue to ensure that people who are blind have opportunities for diverse career choices. Thank you very much. God bless all of you, and God bless America.
Hey, good job, man.
Do I take questions or do I leave?
No, I don't need time.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, guys. All right, hey, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. You know, I could almost imagine going to work for this guy. Let me say a few names that a few of you may recognize out there, some more than others. Names, for example, like Doug Roberts. Lucas Frank. More than a few of you. David Liu. Peter Lang. Walt Sutton. Brad Scott. One or two of those names I just attached to people today. It's not on the program, ladies and gentlemen, and this will be a short little diversion for us, but a happy one and a fun one. This year is a wonderful year in the history of the Seeing Eye, and they're celebrating this whole year their 75th anniversary. They celebrated with a huge ice cream social down on the second floor this afternoon. And just to say a few words to us, I'd like to bring up the president of Seeing Eye, ladies and gentlemen, Ken Rosenthal.
Thank you, President Chris Gray. It's really an honor for me to be here, representing not just the Seeing Eye, but the Council of U.S. Dog Guide Schools. This is the 75th anniversary year of the International Dog Guide Movement, as we like to speak of it in the United States, or the International Guide Dog Movement, as it's said around the world. 75 years ago last November, Dorothy Harrison Eustace wrote an article that appeared in the Saturday Evening Post about German veterans of World War I who were blinded and who were guided in Potsdam, Germany, by dogs who were trained to guide them. That article caught the attention of Morris Frank in Nashville. He wrote to Dorothy Eustace. I think you know the story. She invited him to her estate in Vevey, Switzerland. And 75 years ago, on June 11th, Morris Frank returned from Vevey, Switzerland with Buddy One, the first modern dog guide, the first Seeing Eye dog. He left the ocean liner in New York City, crossed West Street in New York, the busiest street in New York City, proceeded down to Nashville, and the Seeing Eye was born there 75 years ago this summer. And so it's just a great pleasure for me to be here today to join with you in celebrating. And Marvelena and Chris, I'd also like to add one more international greeting to you, because as chairman of the International Guide Dog Federation, an organization comprised of some 60 guide dog schools throughout 27 countries in this world, it is my pleasure to bring greetings from them to you too, and thank you very much for honoring us in this way. I appreciate it very, very much. On behalf of the Seeing Eye, my colleagues, our staff, our trustees, and of course our students and graduates. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, are you ready for some awards? All right. If Teddy Rimhild will come to the lectern now, I would like to introduce her to present some distinguished service awards this evening, and also to present the George Card Award. Ladies and gentlemen, the very able chair of ACB's Awards Committee, Teddy Rimhild.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. How are you?
Fine. That's Teddy Joy Rimhild. Thank you, Mr. President. I thank you for this privilege again this year to chair the awards committee. And I'd like to recognize the other members of the committee, Lynn Correll, Billie Jean Keith, Ed Newell, Elizabeth Lennon, and Don Flewellen. And so thank you very much to the committee for their hard work. This was a tough year. We had many, many, many nominations for every award that ACB presents. And so it was really, it was wonderful, and it was difficult to choose amongst them all wonderful and deserving nominations. I want to start with the first affiliate. The affiliate awards. There's an affiliate award that's given to the affiliate that has the largest percentage of increased membership in the past year. This year, that award is going to the Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays, BFLAG. Connie David. Connie David? Congratulations.
Whoa. Thank you very much. Am I supposed to read this?
No.
Oh, good. I just wanted to say very quickly that we are also working in the coalition building aspect of all of this, because out of the 300 volunteers, roughly 10% of them were volunteers that we managed to get for this convention from the parents and friends of lesbian, gays, bisexual, and transgender people, and also Glenda, which is the Gay and Lesbian Neighborhood Development Association. So you will see them around here all week. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you, and congratulations to BFLAG. The next award will be a Distinguished Service Award. And we are able to present more than one of those in a year. And this year, we are just really, really proud to present this award. And I'm going to introduce Kathy Wheeler, who is very a very good friend of the recipient tonight, and she will talk to us about this woman's accomplishments. Kathy Wheeler, who presenting an award to Ida Scotty.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is my very great privilege to present this award to Ida Scotty. She lives in Missouri now, but she admits that she came to the United States as a stowaway. Of course, she was born shortly after. However, she was born in Bronx. When she grew up and decided it was time to go to work, her mother said, "Why?" She said, "Don't you want my brothers and sisters to work?" So she went to work at the Columbia White Lighthouse for the Blind in the Braille department. A little later, they talked her into working half-time in public relations. And she had the job of touring notables around through the lighthouse. Some of the notables she escorted around were the king and queen of Yugoslavia. Apparently, they didn't have much security back then. Then, when it came time for her to retire, she decided, because she had some relatives in Missouri, to bring her Bronx accent and come to Arnold, Missouri. She said, "If there's something there, I will find it." Well, I've been in Arnold, Missouri. I left Arnold, Missouri. She found a job as a receptionist in a plumber's office, and in her spare time went to local grade schools and talked to six and seven-year-olds about Braille and blindness. She became a lector in her church and read scripture from Braille every Sunday. She met Alma Murphy and Durward McDaniel and decided that ACB would be her home. In 1974, she became active in her local affiliate and has served as representative on the board of MCB and has worked in legislative there. and has won the LSM Forshi, which is an award MCB gives to people who work in the field of legislation. She became the first-time winner of the grant to attend an ACB convention, and she has been here every year since then. She's a delightful lady, and she will recite limericks for you if you ask her to, and it's well worth asking, by the way. It's my very great pleasure, Ida, to present you with this plaque, which is written in Braille, by the way, for the Distinguished Service Award.
Whoops. I can sure make a lot of noise, can't I? Well, I can hardly believe that Kathy was really talking about me. But I really want to thank Kathy and ACB and all of those who made this prestigious award possible for me. There are many deserving persons in ACB, and I feel honored and humbled to have been chosen for this special award, especially since I always enjoyed doing what I was doing. I'm so excited and nervous. This is so much fun. I feel very special, and I thank all of you who made this possible for me. Thank you very much.
The next award that I'm going to announce is the Robert Bray Award, that from the for the National former National Library Service, named for the National Service Library Service Administrator, and this year recipient was not able to be with us, but I would like to mention her and the good works that she has done, with and we're recognizing that with the Robert Bray Award, and that is Maxine Dorf. Maxine. Maxine, during her lifetime career, worked tirelessly to advance Braille reading and the Braille standards and among blind people and visually impaired people, and she made such wonderful contributions. She was nominated by Charlie Hodge, who knew her well and was one of her big proteges and fans. So, and I'm sorry that Maxine can't be with us tonight. The final award is the George Card Award, and it's just exciting for me to be able to do this tonight. Our committee had several nominations, but we finally came up with this award nominee and candidate for this award. George Card is being presented to someone who has made contributions in her community for both sighted and blind, who has worked her whole life to integrate, to be sure that the blind and visually impaired people are fully integrated into our society. This award is being made tonight to my friend Winifred Downing. I have worked with Winifred for many years in California. She is the editor of one of the finest affiliate publications in our country, the Blind Californian. And, of course, we all know Winifred's work on the Board of Publications and Braille Revival League and Library Users of America, my friend Winifred Downing.
I never met George Card, but I did write letters to him because in 1954, when I went to the Orientation Center for the Blind in Oakland, California, I used to write Braille for Kenneth Jernigan, who was also a teacher there that we called Ken Jernigan in those years. And I also Brailled for Dr. Tenbrook. He would send me discs, and I would Braille for him. And a lot of the letters on those discs went to George Card. And you can't believe how I'd love to remember what was in those letters in the light of the ACB history. The award is given, as you know, for someone who is to have contributed to the lives of other blind persons and to have become a role model. Judged by those standards, 2/3 of the people in this room should be getting the award. And while I accept it with gratitude, I do it with the knowledge that I am a representative of all of you, and I thank everybody.
That concludes my part of the program tonight, and I'm going to turn it back to President Gray to continue with the awards ceremonies. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Teddy Joy, and award recipients. I would now like to introduce the chairman of the ACB Board of Publications to present the Vernon Henley and Ned Freeman Awards. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Hodge.
Yep, I'll be Charlie. Here, on this side. There you go.
It's a hot mic. The reason I'm making some noise here, folks, is because we have beautiful plaques that are on wood, walnut, polished walnut, and they have both the certificate of the awards in print and in Braille. And they're beautiful plaques that are awarded. And I want to start first with the Nettie Freeman Award of the American Council of the Blind. The Nettie Freeman Award is named after Nettie Freeman, who was the first president of ACB, and also the first editor of the Braille Forum. And in light of his great contributions, ACB established an award for writing excellence. And we have many, many talented people in our organization, and we had this year one of the closest votes for the Ned E. Freeman Award. There were some 70 articles considered by the Board of Publications as eligible nominees for the award. 10 of those were actually received votes in our poll of the BOP members. It was a very close vote. The Board of Publications wishes to publicly acknowledge two honorable mentions for the Ned E. Freeman Award as close runner-ups. One was an article by Debbie Kendrick about audio description being appropriate for the funeral of her friend Joanne Fisher. That appeared in the Braille Forum. The second runner-up that we wish to acknowledge was an article written by Ron Brooks of Albuquerque, New Mexico, about the experience of he and his wife in having a home birth of their new daughter at home. That appeared in the Braille Forum. It was a close vote, but we are here tonight, and I want to read the plaque and then have the award winner come up and say a word, and I'll read it from the award certificate. The Ned E. Freeman Award of the American Council of the Blind is presented to Mike Godino in recognition of his writing excellence by and for people who are blind, presented at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, July 6, 2003. Mike's article was, of course, about his sojourn during President's Day weekend of 2002, sort of chaperoning a group of blind students from the state of New York at the National Center for the Blind in Baltimore. And that was published in the Braille Forum in July of 2002. Mike,
here's your plaque.
Thank you very much.
Microphone's right here. Right here. Yeah, it's right up here.
Hello, ECB.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to receive this award. If not for you reading the article, I would not have received the award. I'd also like to just give a special thanks to Charlie Crawford for actually recognizing the letter as a possible article and convincing me to publish it in the Braille Forum. And I'd like to thank Penny Rita for her editing skills in assisting me in making that letter into an article. That article was presented as a letter format to the New York State Commission for the Blind last year, and it was done in June, and the letter was scheduled to be published in June. I had to stop it. I was on the phone with Penny. Stop it. Don't publish it. I want to make sure that I present it to the Commission for the Blind of New York State prior to it being published. I managed to stop it. We got it presented. Then it was published, and I was so proud to raise the awareness of people in ACB and around the world of what could possibly be happening in their state. And I hope that all of you are aware and watching for what could be happening within your state and take action if you notice it happening. So thank you for reading the article. Thank you for the award. But be aware that what is happening in New York State is very sad.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Charles. Thank you. Before presenting the second BOP award, the Vernon Henley Memorial Award, I want to take a point of personal privilege. When President Grave presented former President Leroy Saunders with the first copy, hardbound, hardback copy of People of Vision, the ACB history, Leroy mentioned our bet, our wager. And immediately upon receiving the book, Leroy did come over to me on the platform here and did pay me the debt. I have a $10 bill here, and I'm a man of my honesty and of my word, just as Leroy Saunders is. And I told the board of directors yesterday, but if I could ever get that $10 out of Leroy, I would donate it to the American Council of the Blind. So I want to present to either Artis Bazin, our treasurer, or Jim Olson, who's our chief financial officer, this nice, crisp $10 bill from Leroy Saunders and from me as our contribution to ACB. Now, I do want to now present the Vernon Henley Memorial Award, named after a former chairman of the Board of Publications, who unfortunately in the mid-80s died in a house fire in his home in Oklahoma City. Vernon Henley was a special person. He happened to be one of the sighted people who has gotten into our organization and has dedicated themselves to assist and help the cause of blind people. And the award tonight, the Vernon Henley Memorial Award, is being presented to an old friend of ours, a person who was a member of the National Board of Directors of ACB from 1981 to 1989, and then served as National Secretary of ACB from 1989 to 1995. She has done much, and the reason she was nominated for this media award was because she has done much in using the internet, the new world of cyberspace, to inform particularly low vision people and people who are losing their sight later in life of information about products, programs, and other things that can help people who are losing their sight still remain active and participating members of society. Through her editing and publication of the Vision Worldwide newsletter and her distribution on many email lists of other related newsletters, she's done much, particularly for newly blinded people. So, reading from the plaque, and by the way, the recipient here cannot, because of health problems, be here tonight. And the plaque will be, of course, sent to her. But we did get a tape-recorded short message of acceptance from her that will be played once I read the plaque. It says, "The Vernon Henley Memorial Award of the American Council of the Blind is presented to Patricia Price in recognition of her ongoing work, providing information about products, services, avenues, avenues to literacy, and issues affecting quality of life for all people who are blind and visually impaired, presented at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, July 6, 2003. And now if we could hear from Pat Price by tape recording, it's a very short acceptance message.
It really is an honor for me to accept the Vernon Henley Award. I just wish I could be with you all personally to provide my remarks. Having had the unique privilege of being fully sighted for 16 years and then suddenly deafblind and then followed by total blindness for nearly 30 years, then very low vision, I've learned firsthand that information provides hope and empowerment. Consequently, I've tried very hard and have had a deep desire to use whatever journalistic talents I've had to meet the information needs of people by providing relevant and timely information on all aspects of life. And it's been very important to me that it be in an accessible format. My goal has always been to emphasize the capabilities and the concerns of blind people, rather than focusing upon the outdated stereotypes and misconceptions that people have. And I've really been very, very grateful for the acceptance that my work has had worldwide. But there's another reason that this award is very important to me. I knew Vernon Henley personally, and on the very day of his tragic death, I had a long conversation with him by phone. At the close of that conversation, he indicated that he would send me some material by mail. I still have that package, and I often reflect upon it and think about his life and his work and the impact that it has had on my life professionally and personally. I'm so grateful and want to thank all of you for providing this award to me. And by presenting this Vernon Henley Media Award, you have given me another goal for which to strive, and for that I shall always be grateful.
That's it. Okay.
Thank you very much, Charlie. And Pat, if you're on the internet listening out there, it was sure great to hear your voice. Congratulations. I now will turn the floor over to the Chief Financial Officer of the American Council of the Blind to present this year's Life Membership Awards. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Olson.
Come and bring it in.
Okay.
Good evening. On a note of personal privilege, I want to thank all of you for bearing with us in the registration process. The wedding last night was wonderful. The bride got married, the dad's happy, and the mother cried. So it was a great evening. And all of you that came back We were supposed to close at 7, and we stayed there till 8:30 because you were such a wonderful guest at our wedding. So thank you. Those of you in the audience who have purchased a life membership or know that your state affiliate has, if you would come, pardon me, come to the front of the auditorium here in the center. Chris Gray is going down to the floor microphone here in the very front of the audience. So if you could start coming forward, that would facilitate us in handling this in a timely manner. While you're doing that, I'll just make a couple introductory comments. We have 12 life memberships since last year's convention. At this point, we now stand at 197 life members since July 6th of 1986, when the first one was purchased by Justin Dart at our Knoxville convention. In 17 years, we have certainly grown, and it's a marvelous experience, and it's marvelous when people have called and said that they would like to purchase a life membership. Charlie Hodge is our great crusader for this cause, and his articles that are in the Braille Forum brings forth new members every year. I see 3 people down here. I got 12 awards. The others must not know that they purchased. I know some of you made your own purchase, or at least I think you did. Anyway, Chris is down here too, and Patricia?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Patricia, just take the rubber band and the large print name off. Okay, we have all the logistics working together here now. Last year at our convention, we gave a sweepstakes award, $500. And in December, the sweepstakes award winner called me and wanted to take his investment of that $500 and make a purchase of a life membership. We've talked quite a few times since. Talked quite a few times this past week about him coming to the convention. Talked to him quite a few times at the convention about tours. But that award, sweepstakes award winner and life recipient award certificate this year, signed Darlow of St. Petersburg, Florida. And just a personal point of information about Sign that I've learned over this 6-month period is he's a gentleman that has a handshake that was one of the first franchises with the Colonel Sanders himself. Sign, are you up here?
Yes, no.
Is Sign up here? No. I know he's here.
Is he on the internet?
No, he is here at the convention because he went to Johnstone. Okay. Earlier this spring, Kathleen Brockman, the Badger Association of the Blind, awarded a life membership to Kathleen, and Chris Gray was there at the state affiliate. And Kathleen, are you up here? Here? No, right over to the center here.
In front here?
Yes.
Right over here.
Congratulations. I didn't know if I was supposed to be up here or not.
Oh, thank you very much. I remember last year Catherine Skivers being surprised by her board. My board kind of went behind my back this year and did the same thing to me. So I was really shocked and surprised in April when I got my award. Thank you very, very much to not only the members of my affiliate, but the American Council of the Blind. Thank you.
Okay, another affiliate that has a tradition of rewarding their members. The Washington Council of the Blind is presenting the life membership this evening to Jan Ames. Jan? I think this may...
Now,
this
Jan better be here.
Is Jan here? Okay. Sorry, but congratulations to Jan. Next, the Mississippi Council of the Blind is making a presentation to a life membership to Fannie Benson, and just like they do in the Oscars, and accepting on behalf of Fannie Benson this year is Janice Gable. Janice, on behalf of Fannie. Janice up here?
These awards may go fast.
Oh, boy, we're going fast, Mr. President.
Hang on. We're going to get the award.
Okay.
It's being passed from hand to hand as we speak.
No, that's... Here.
Here you go, Janice.
Okay, our next award... Excuse me.
I'm honored to accept this life membership for Fannie Benson. She's a very dedicated member to MCB, and we will present this to her at a special ceremony at our state picnic in October. Thank you.
I have to explain to you in the audience, the podium this year is up so high, and Chris and the recipients are standing down on the main level, and the whole, this microphone box here, shadows them. I have to lean way up and over to see if there's anyone down there. So sorry about that. Okay, ACB of Colorado is awarding a life membership to Sandy McAvney. Sandy McAvney. Sorry, excuse me.
Sandy McAvaney, are you here? Well?
Okay, well, let's give Sandy a warm congratulations. We're going... Okay, to surprise the audience and the D.C. office, this lady sent us the money for a life membership and asked that I keep it a secret. And the national office didn't have the opportunity to send out a welcome to the life membership reception on Friday night. So it's been a real secret, Carolyn. Carolyn Hathaway of Ohio.
Well, I just thought that, gee, $500 isn't really that much in 2 years. If my girlfriend can give $100 a month to NFB, I sure can afford to give this much to ACB. So I decided to do a life membership.
Good for you. That's great. Thank you so much.
Okay. From Forest Park, Illinois, our second vice president of the American Council of Blind, M.J. Schmidt, life member.
Right up here, M.J., is where I'm standing. Come straight down this way. I'm holding out the plaque. There you go. Well, you're welcome. Thank you. I know you want to say something.
Yeah, I do. I'm quite ferociously proud of being a member of ACB, and I'm just tickled pink about the book coming out this year. I have procrastinated about taking this membership for a long time, and I thought I'd better do it before my peer collapsed. Thank you all.
Okay. American Council Blind, as you know, through the radio and through the warm welcomes tonight, reaches far beyond the shores of the continental United States, Alaska, and Hawaii. We have last year an international member from Canada join as a life member, and this year we go way down south to Australia. Susan Thompson from Gaby, Australia. Susan? Susan here? Well, Susan is registered for the convention. I know that. She's coming?
Oh, I guess she's coming. Okay.
Okay.
Sue, how did we let you sit so far away? You must have been hiding.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Oh, yes, we have movement coming along the left side here, Mr. President.
I've got the plaque at the ready, Sue.
There you go. Congratulations, and thank you so much from ACB. You want to say anything?
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Darlene. I actually think that I might be the first life member to have signed up online. And the reason that I, coming from Australia, became a life member is because I got sick of converting the Australian dollar.
Congratulations. Oh. Just if you wait a second.
Are we done down there? Okay. So, like I said, I can't see down there. Although I can't see too well either. Anyway. One other interesting point was Susan there is Susan purchased her life membership through the website using PayPal. So it was completely done electronically. And thank Earlene Hughes for many hours of work to see that that was placed in there and that she also assisted Susan with getting it to function properly. So thank you, Earlene. Missouri Council of the Blind tonight honors Bessie Reese with a life membership on behalf of the Missouri Council of the Blind.
First of all, I would like to say to MCB and to the American Council, it is certainly a privilege to receive this life membership. I've been working in ACB ever since the early 60s, and I really am happy to become a life member. Thank you.
We're sure happy to have you, too.
Okay. Sometimes people react quickly with their sweepstakes winnings, and others take a few years. From the Tulsa sweepstakes winning, Don G. Morrill of Chicago for life membership. Don and I are good old friends since 77. Okay. Thanks, Don.
Right there.
Okay. Well, I better say something. It's about time I made up my mind to do this. I've been coming to conventions now, what, 25, 30 years, something like that. I know Jim figures it's about time he made up his mind. And I figure I don't have to pay dues now for the next 50 or 60 years. So, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Okay, now comes an embarrassing moment for me. I still have some people standing up here. Other than President Gray and Patricia from the D.C. office. But I have two names, so, but I have their plaques back over in my office because I was informed they weren't coming. Yeah. So anyway, from Boca Raton, Florida, longtime member of ACB as a New Life member, Nigel Richards. Is Nigel down here in front with us? No? Okay, well, recognize Nigel. And then another longtime member that I know that is not here from Utah, a member of the American Blind Lawyers Association and American Council of the Blind, now a life member, Leland Kent Wimmer. And who have I overlooked? Who's down here with me? Well, there's water glasses here. Huh? Well, Kenneth, we're going to award it. Kenneth Woodrow. And I'm going to have to ask Kenneth to say something, because somewhere between Kenneth and the post office and my office, I don't have all the information. But Kenneth is a very honest man and a New Life member.
Yes. On there? Hello. Okay. Thank you very much. Boy, this is the first biggest convention I've been to in years. And it's great. It's a week-long one for me. That's great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Kenneth?
Yes.
You come down with Patricia to the end down here and talk with me, please, when we're finished. We'll get it all worked out, so don't worry, folks. I've still got Leroy Saunders' $10 floating around up here somewhere, because I don't think Artis has come up here yet. It's a $10 bill that's floating tonight, but somewhere we'll get it to the Treasury within the next day. And that's all I have, Mr. President, for life members this year. Thank you all, and there's many opportunities out there for ways that you can do it. Thank you.
You've got the 10.
Thank you very much, Jim. And if you'll just give me a moment to navigate back up onto the podium. Well, Jim, thank you very much for doing the life membership presentation. And you all know how it is who run a meeting, been up front. It seems like there's always some little surprise waiting for you, something that might not work out quite the way you thought it was. Doesn't happen too often to Jim, so, you know, what can I say? And speaking of surprises...
Mr. President, I got a surprise, Mr. President.
Yeah?
This is Mr. J from the microphone. We just got an email. Jonathan got an email from Pat Price, and she says she was listening to every word, and she felt the warmth from this room. How about that?
That's great. Thanks very much, Jay. So now I get to give a small surprise, an additional surprise from other times this evening. It is for recognition of long-term service. Recognition, in fact, Jim, if you'd come up here. We have a special plaque that I don't think you knew anything about. And Jim may not even remember that what he's about to be awarded is totally true. But it really is. And ladies and gentlemen, Jim Olson's receiving a plaque tonight in recognition and gratitude for 25 years of dedicated service to the American Council of the Blind.
help tell you.
Is he coming?
Jim.
Appreciation Award class in ACB. Can you believe it's 25 years?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're going to read the Braille. Capital letter. I. I did teach Braille for 2 years. In 75 and 76. Then I got a job with ACB. All I do is count money now. Wow, thank you. This is a surprise. I'm just down there straightening out a little problem I have on life memberships. Somehow while I'm trying to get all the information, I hear my name in the background. So I didn't hear everything that Chris did say in total, but I guess I got to buy a set of tapes now and go home and listen. But this is really a great surprise. It's hard to pull surprises over on me because usually I see all the financial stuff. This bill we haven't paid yet. It'll get paid next week. So in a little remorseful way, wish my wife Ann was here because she's the one that's really been behind me as well as my family for 25 years. But I got a wife that's got a new kick in life with this old guy. And for you ladies out there that know the Red Hat Society, my wife Ann is a Red Hatter. You wear a purple dress, you be age 50 or older, and you wear red hats, and you just go out and have a good time. And she's going to their convention on Wednesday. So I have to take care of myself. She taught me how to pack my suitcase while I was gone this week. Because I don't have room to pack my suitcase. So, but the award, oh man, this is good. I mean, really surprising. So thank you. You know, it's been the best 25 years, and I've told this to many, many people, my real reward is seeing you as the members here at the convention and having a great time. You've decided what you wanted to do, and I hope that through the registration process we've been able to satisfy you, have a good convention, and that we've been able to resolve the problems, and we do see the problems come in. And that your week is rewarding and fulfilling, and that it's educational, and that you have a good time, a fun time, and get a chance to be with your friends and colleagues, and just enjoy the week, because it is a great week. I was in the CPA profession for 10 years, and this is much more rewarding, ACB. So thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Fantastic.
There you go.
All right, thank you very much. Will Judy Cannon please come to the front to deliver the first credentials report to ACB? Ladies and gentlemen, from Quincy, Massachusetts, give her a moment to get up here, Judy Cannon. She has to wake up her dog, she says.
Mike, I'm very short. Good evening.
Thank you again to Chris Gray and Steve Spiker for giving me the opportunity to chair the Credentials Committee. Thank you also to my committee, Sanford Alexander from Kansas, John Fleming, Oregon, Donna Salga, Iowa, Marsha Dresser, Massachusetts, Scott Stanga, Utah, and Gary Legates, Maryland. Also, thank you to Terry Pacheco and Sharon Lovering for work at the National Office and a great initial credentials report. Let's give them a big thank you. The Credentials Committee wishes to acknowledge affiliates that reported on time. You made our job easier. We still need to express to other affiliates, though, the importance of the March 15th postmark date. We are still seeing member lists with the wrong number of members being reported and dues not being calculated correctly. We found that this calculation this year, however, greatly benefited ACB, as many affiliates paid per capita dues for their ICB life members, plus additional funds amounting to over $1,000. I know that the National Office staff will review calculations with you if you call, but I also know that one man in this room, namely Jim Olson, would be pleased to accept these additional funds as a donation. Remember that the Credentials Committee, as well as the Membership Committee, are here to support and assist you. Today, we reviewed 8 affiliates, and some of these affiliates have received from us a reduction in affiliate votes. In a moment, our secretary will call the roll and announce the affiliate number of votes. If an affiliate wishes to appeal a decision, please indicate that at the time your affiliate is announced. You do have the right to an appeal, which would be heard on tomorrow morning's convention floor. Mr. President, it has been an honor to again serve and chair this committee. This completes my initial credentials report. Thank you.
Hey, Judy.
Yes.
Is John Fleming here, Green?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Judy. And as Donna prepares to call the roll, I want to know, is John Fleming in the room? John, are you out there somewhere? Is he? I've got to tell you guys something about this John Fleming guy. He's from Oregon, so we know he's half crazy, right? But now here's how crazy he really is. He got a hold of the National Office and of me and put together a fundraiser for ACB with a bunch of folks down in Southern California who wore ACB t-shirts and did skydiving. I don't think John did skydiving with them, but I have to say that John, through his initiative and through working with these folks and encouraging them, raised this year over $6,000 for ACB, and I thank you very much for that. Just goes to show each of us can make a difference. You take advantage of an opportunity that comes along. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to call the roll of the American Council of the Blind, I introduce to you the Secretary of ACB from the great state of Iowa, Donna Seliger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I need a mic turned on. There we go. Thank you very much. I would like to ask each delegate from the affiliates to find microphones. We're going to go in alphabetical order.
Madam Secretary, there are microphones. There are 2 microphones in each aisle, so you can go to different ones along the way nearby. So there are 2 microphones in each aisle. They're all outlined in yellow on the floor for those of you that can see. So just find them and line up. And they'll all be on.
Thank you. I will ask you to give me your delegate, alternate delegate, the person who will sit on the nominating committee, and how many chairs you estimate your affiliate will need. In turn, I will tell you the number of votes that your affiliate will be allowed. We will start with Alabama. Council of the Blind, 10 votes.
David Trott, I will be the delegate. John Ridgway will be the alternate, and I will serve on the nominating committee, and we need 12 chairs.
Thank you. Alaska Independent Blind, 18 votes.
Alaska Independent Blind Incorporated, Lynn Correll, L-Y-N-N-E, K-O-R-A-L, delegate. Jim Swartz, that's James Swartz, S-W-A-R-T-Z, alternate delegate. Delegate to the nominating committee, Sandy Sanderson. You know how to spell his name, I know that. And three chairs. Thank you.
Thank you. Arizona Council of the Blind, 9 votes.
Arizona Council of the Blind, Ruth Dritting, delegate.
Pardon, I can't hear you.
Ruth Dritting, delegate.
Could you spell the last name?
D-R-U-D-I-N-G. Okay. Harold Newsom, alternate delegate. And Ruth Dritting, delegate to the nominating committee.
Could you spell Harold's last name, please?
N-E-W-S-O-M. M as in Mary.
Thank you. How many chairs do you need?
We need 10 chairs, please.
Thank you. Arkansas Council of the Blind, 6 votes.
Okay, Sandy Edwards, that's S-A-N-D-Y-E-D-W-A-R-D-S. Well, I'm the delegate. Teresa Curry, that's T-E-R-E-S-A-C-U-R-R-Y, is our alternate delegate, and Teresa Curry will be on the nominating committee. We need 10 chairs.
Thank you. California Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
California Council of the Blind, the delegate will be myself, Jeff Tom. The alternate is the shy and retiring Mitch Pomerantz, for the alternate delegate, I should say. And the nominating committee member will be myself, Jeff Tom, and we will need 45 chairs.
Thank you. ACB of Colorado, 5 votes. Do we need a mic turned on?
Are you looking for a mic?
You know, I was there, but it wasn't on.
It's been on all the time.
Colorado Council of the Blind, sorry, the American Council of the Blind of Colorado Incorporated delegate is Christine Hutchinson, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, Hutchinson, H-U-T-C-H-I-N-S-O-N. Alternate delegate is Alyssa, A-L-Y-S-A, Webb, W-E-B-B. I will be going to the nominating committee, and we need 20 chairs. And can you repeat the vote, or how many we have?
Yes, ma'am. 5.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a quick thing, Madam Secretary. All the microphones have switches on them. Please make sure you don't turn them off. It doesn't help us.
Connecticut Council of the Blind is not seated. Delaware Council of the Blind, one vote.
Delaware Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. I am Suzanne Howell, capital SUZANNEHOWELL. I am serving as delegate. Our alternate is Marion, capital MARION Howell. Suzanne will serve on the nominating committee, and we need two chairs, please.
Is Marion Howell?
Yes, it is.
And who will serve on the nominating committee?
Suzanne Howell.
Okay.
Marion will serve as the alternate, and Suzanne will serve on the nominating committee.
Oh,
thank
Suzanne.
You.
Okay. And you need two chairs?
Two chairs. Thank you.
Thank you. D.C. Council of the Blind, three votes.
District Columbia Council of the Blind, from the land of taxation without representation. The delegate will be Oral Miller. The alternate will be Sandra Sermons, just like what a preacher gives. Sermons, S-E-R-M-O-N-S.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the spelling.
S-E-R-M-O-N-S.
S-E-R-M-O-N-S. Thank
right.
you.
And the representative to the nominating committee will be Sandra Sermons.
Okay.
And we will need 10 chairs.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your spelling names for me. And I meant to ask that in the beginning. So thank you for doing that. Florida Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Florida Council of the Blind, delegate will be Robert Miller. Alternate delegate will be Jesus Garcia. Jesus Garcia to the nominating committee. And Florida will need 30 chairs.
Thank you. Georgia Council of the Blind, 12 votes.
The delegate will be Marsha Farrow. Marsha spelled M-A-R-S-H-A. Farrow, F-A-R-R-O-W. The alternate delegate will be Peggy Chavis. Chavis is C-H-A-V-I-S. And
what was the first name?
Peggy, P-E-G-G-Y.
Oh.
And Marsha Farrow will also serve on the nominating committee, and we need 15 chairs. Would you repeat the number of votes one more time?
12 votes.
Thank you.
Hawaii Association of the Blind, 2 votes.
This is Warren Toema from Hawaii, and I bring you much aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
Don Thompson will be the delegate. Milton Ota will be the alternate. Don Thompson will serve on a nominating committee, and we need 6 chairs.
6 chairs. Thank you. Idaho Council of the Blind, 0.5 votes.
Dennis Emery, that's E-M-E-R-Y. I'm the delegate. The associate delegate is Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, Emery, E-M-E-R-Y. And we need 2 chairs, and I'll be on the nominating committee.
Thank you very much. Illinois Council of the Blind, 10 votes.
Good evening, Madam Secretary. This is Ray Campbell, the President of the Illinois Council of the Blind. I Ray Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L, will serve as delegate. Our alternate delegate is Paula Sprecher. The last name is spelled S-P as in Paul, R-E-C-H-E-R. Paula Sprecher is our alternate delegate. Our nominating committee representative will be Camille, C-A-M-I-L-L-E, Caffarelli, C-A-F as in Frank, F as in Frank, A-R-E-L-L-I. And we'll need 25 chairs, please.
Thank you. ACB of Indiana, 9 votes.
ACB of Indiana says good evening. And we, the delegate will be Dolly Souder, S-O-W-D-E-R, alternate, Erlene Hughes, nominating committee, Dolly Souder, 12 chairs.
Thank you. Iowa, Council of the United Blind, 7 votes.
D. Clayton as delegate, and you should know how to spell it. Arlo Monte, as alternate delegate, and D. Clayton myself will be going to the nominating committee. Also, Iowa has a $300 check to present to ACB.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Dean, and thank you, Iowa.
I forgot to mention how many chairs, 15 chairs.
Thank you. Kansas Association of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 7 votes.
Good evening, Madam Secretary, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Byington. I am the president of the Kansas Association of Blind and Visually Impaired. I will be the delegate. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-B-Y-I-N-G-T-O-N. Ann Byington, she spells it the same way I do, will be the alternate. And from the great city of Hayes, America, our treasurer, Bob Chaffin, C-H-A-F-F-I-N, will be our representative to the nominating committee. Thank you.
We need eight chairs. Pardon?
I think we need eight chairs.
8 chairs.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Kentucky Council of the Blind, 13 votes.
Kentucky Council of the Blind, the delegate will be Deanna Scoggins, D-E-A-N-N-A-S-C-O-G-G-I-N-S.
S-C-O what?
G-G-I-N-S.
Thank you.
Alternate delegate, Bill Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Nominating committee, Carla Rushable.
And how many chairs?
10 chairs.
Thank you. Bluegrass Council of the Blind, 4 votes.
The Bluegrass Council of the Blind is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. And
congratulations.
The delegate will be Cecil Cox, C-E-C-I-L-C-O-X. The alternate, Adam Rushable, A-D-A-M-R-U-S-C-H-I-V-A-L. And Cecil Cox will serve on the nominating committee. And we need 2 chairs.
Thank you. Louisiana Council of the Blind, 2 votes.
Here.
Louisiana Council of the Blind, the delegate will be Dan Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. The alternate will be Paula Marshall. The nominating committee delegate will be Dan Marshall, and we will need 6 chairs.
Thank you. ACB of Maine, 3 votes.
Mike 2 is Pat.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. ACB of Maryland, 6 votes.
Hi. The delegate for ACB of Maryland is Al Pietrolungo, P-I-E-T-R-O-L-U-N-G-O. The alternate delegate is Patrick Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N. Al Pietrolungo will serve on the nominating committee, and we will need 30 chairs, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Bay State Council of the Blind, 15 votes.
I'm Judy Cannon, President, Bay State Council of the Blind. I will serve as the delegate. Nancy Trzinski, T-R-Z-C-I-N-S-K-I, will serve as the alternate. I, Judy Cannon, will serve on the nominating committee, and we will need 25 chairs.
Thank you. Michigan Council of the Blind, 6 votes. Is someone getting to a mic?
Are you here, Michigan?
You're not Michigan, are you?
Is there a delegate here or somebody who can cast your votes?
Michigan?
You need to get to a microphone then. Let's do the next one, Donna, while they're finding a mic.
Okay. Faith Meadows of Michigan.
All right.
I'm sorry. I was looking for the rest of the group. I came in late this evening. Joe Talaferro is serving as our delegate. And I will be serving as the alternate delegate. My name is Faith Meadows, M-E-A-D-O-W-S. And Joe, I really can't have the correct spelling of her last name. And I was hoping that George Illingsworth would be here so that he could serve on the nominating committee. And if my correction is right, I think we'll need about 8 chairs.
Okay, and who on the nominating committee?
George Illingsworth.
Can you spell last name?
I-L-L-I-N-G-W-O-R-T-H.
And 15 chairs?
8.
8. Thank you. Okay. ACB of Minnesota, 4 votes.
This is Ken Rogers, the president of American Council of the Blind of Minnesota, and I will act as delegate. R-O-D-G-E-R-S is the last name.
Please spell it slower.
Ken Rogers, R-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Thank you.
Assistant delegate, alternate delegate will be Stephanie Hall, H-A-L-L, and nominating committee will be Ken Rogers. We will need 8 chairs.
How many chairs?
8.
8. Thank you. Mississippi Council of the Blind, 9 votes.
Mississippi Council of the Blind's delegate will be Mike Smitherman, S-M-I-T-H-E-R-M-A-N. Our alternate delegate will be Kenneth Reed, R-E-E-D. And our person on the nominating committee will be Ralph Smitherman, S-M-I-T-H-E-R-M-A-N. And obviously, I am none of the above.
How many chairs?
Need 12 chairs.
Thank you. Missouri Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
From the great Show Me State, the delegate will be Chip Haley, H-A-I-L-E-Y. The alternate delegate will be Jack Link, L-E-N-K. The representative to the nominating committee will be Kathy Wheeler, K-A-T-H-E-Y, W-H-E-E-L-E-R. And we will need 50 chairs.
Thank you. ACB of Nebraska, 3 votes.
Hi, I'm Mary Susan Rester. I'm the president of ACB of Nebraska. Jim Yurok will be our delegate, J-I-R-A-K. Mary Susan Arrester will be the alternate delegate. It's M-A-R-Y-S-U-S-A-N-O-R-E-S-T-E-R. Bill Arrester will be the nominating committee delegate, and we need 10 chairs.
Thank you. Nevada Council of the Blind, 4 votes. Carol Ewing, E-W-I-N-G, is the delegate. Rick Culmey, K-U-H-L-M-E-Y, is the alternate delegate. Carol Ewing is the nominating committee delegate. And we need 2 chairs. And we also say we welcome you in 2005 to Las Vegas. We are excited. New Jersey Council of the Blind, 5 votes.
New Jersey Council of the Blind, I, President David Zuli, will serve on the nominating as delegate. Our alternate delegate, let me spell my name back up a second here. Zuli, Z as in zebra, U-L-L-I. Our alternate delegate is Tom Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N, and I will serve on the nominating committee. We will need 5 chairs.
Thank you. ACB of New Mexico, Inc., 2 votes.
Good evening. I'm Rene Fernandez, president of ACB of New Mexico, and I am the only one here. So I am the delegate.
We've got you doing triple duty.
Triple duty, you got it.
But welcome.
Alternate delegate and on the nominating committee.
And what was your first name?
Rene, R-E-N-E.
R-E-N-E.
1 E. Last name, F as in Frank, E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z.
Thank
and
you.
And 1 chair.
Thank you. ACB of New York State, 7 votes.
Good evening. This is John Farina, president of ACB of New York. I will be the delegate. It's F-A-R-I-N-A. And Kathy, with a K, Farina, same spelling, coincidentally, will be the alternate delegate. Our nominating committee member will be Jean Mann, and we will need 50 chairs. Thank you.
Thank you. North Dakota Association of the Blind, 7 votes.
Okay, thank you. Alan Peterson, President, North Dakota Association of the Blind. Our delegate is Mary Stipp. Stipp is spelled S-T-I-P. I will serve as the alternate delegate, and I will serve on the nominating committee.
I didn't get your delegate.
Pardon? It's Mary Stipp.
Mary?
Stipp.
S-T-I-P.
S-T-I-P.
Okay. And you're the alternate?
Yes.
Okay.
And I serve on the nominating committee, and we will need 4 chairs.
Thank you.
Very good.
ACB of Ohio, 13 votes.
Excuse me, Madam Secretary. Have we skipped the North Carolina?
Oh, I am so sorry. I missed you.
I don't see how.
Well, okay. North Carolina, Council of the Blind, 9 votes.
Okay, since C comes before D.
Yes, sir.
President Wayne Yelton, W-A-Y-N-E, last name Y-E-L-T-O-N, is the delegate. Yours truly, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Moore, M-O-O-R-E, is the alternate.
Lucy Isley, L-U-C-Y. Isley, I-S-L-E-Y, is on the nominating committee. And we'll need 20 chairs.
Thank you. ACB of Ohio, 13 votes.
ACB of Ohio, our delegate is Mary Jo Chisnell, C-H-I-S-N-E-L. And I'm the alternate, Ron Fries, F-R-I-E-S-S, and I will be going to the nominating committee. We need 30 chairs.
Thank you. Oklahoma Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Yay, Oklahoma. We need for our delegate, it's Elaine Boykin, B-O-Y-K-I-N. Our alternate is Marie Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N. The nominating committee is Elaine Boykin, and we need 15 chairs.
Thank you. Oregon Council of the Blind, 13 votes.
This is ACB of Oregon. I, Bev Rushing, R-U-S-H-I-N-G, will serve as delegate. Bob Johnson will serve as our alternate. Bob will also be our nominating delegate. And we need 14 chairs.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, that's great.
Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Hey. Madam Secretary, Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, John Horst will be our delegate. Our alternate delegate will be Tony Swartz. That's S-W-A-R-T-Z. Our nominating committee person will be Jay Doudna. That's J-A-Y-D-O-U-D-N-A. And Madam Secretary, as of this afternoon at 4:30, we have registered 177 people. And I'm requesting 125 chairs.
Thank you very much.
Don't think that the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind is not supporting ACB.
ACB of South Carolina, 2 votes.
ACB of South Carolina, Delegate Patsy Jones, P-A-T-S-Y-J-O-N-E-S. Alternate Delegate, Robert Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S. Patsy Jones will be nominating committee, and I think we're going to need about 3 chairs.
Thank you. South Dakota Association of the Blind, 8 votes.
Madam Chair, this is Shelley Hart, First Vice President of South Dakota Association of the Blind. I will serve as our delegate, Shelley, C-H-E-L-L-E, Hart, H-A-R-T. Our alternate delegate will be Deb Versteeg, capital V-E-R, capital S-T-E-E-G, and I will serve on the nominating committee, and we need 2 chairs.
Thank you. Tennessee Council of the Blind, delegate, or I'm sorry, number of votes, 6.
Greetings from Tennessee Council of the Blind. I'm Brenda Dillon, president, and I will serve as the delegate. That's D-I-L-L-O-N. And Sue Winkler Larkin will serve as our alternate delegate. And that's W-I-N-K-L-E-R-L-A-R-K-I-N. Sue will be our representative to the nominating committee, and we need 16 chairs.
All right.
Thank you. ACB of Texas, 12 votes.
Chris Prentice, P-R-E-N-T-I-C-E, M-O-U-S-E, President of ACB Texas. I am the delegate, Dr. Ed Bradley, that's E-D, will be our alternate, and I will be serving on the nominating committee.
Now, how many chairs?
Let's have 100. Well, 15. 15.
Thank you. Utah Council of the Blind, 25 votes.
Linda Braithwaite, B-R-A-I-T-H-W-A-I-T-E, delegate. Bernice Stradley, B-E-R-N-E-C-E, Stradley, S-T-R-A-D-L-E-Y, alternate. Linda Braithwaite, to the nominating committee. We need 15 chairs.
Thank you. Vermont Council of the Blind, 2 votes.
Hi there. From the green state of Vermont, which also brings you Howard Dean. My name is Phil Hammerstein.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
From the green state of Vermont, which also brings you Howard Dean. My name is Phil Hammerslaw. I'm the vice president. I will be, actually, Harriet Hall, H-A-L-L, will be our main delegate. I will be second. Harriet Hall will be on the nominating committee, and I'll follow anything else that needs following. Oh, we'll need 5 chairs.
Okay.
And what was your first name?
My name is Phil, that's P-H-I-L. Hammerslaw, I better spell that for you. It's H-A-M-M-M-E-R-S-L-O-U-G-H.
H-A-M-M-E-R-S-L-O-U-G-H.
Took me till third grade, so.
And you're okay.
I bet you spell that name a lot.
Yes, but I did what my brother out in California did. He said, actually, it's a funny story. but he cut it down to Hammer.
Thank you. Old Dominion Council of the Blind, 4 votes.
You're on. She's on the way, I guess.
Anyone here from Old Dominion?
Yeah, they're coming.
Okay, thank you.
Charlie, you want to announce for us so we can move on?
Right over here. Yeah, right here, Charlie.
Do we have some? Right, are you going to do it, Charlie?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Just to my right. Okay. I'm Charlie Hodge, and I'm the vice president of the Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Our delegate for this convention will be Deborah Chandler. That's D-E-B-R-A, Chandler, C-H-A-N-D-L-E-R. Our alternate delegate will be Alexander Anderson, that's A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. Our nominating committee representative will be Charlie Hodge, that's H-O-D-G-E. And we will need 35 chairs.
Thank you. Virginia Association of the Blind, 25 votes.
25 votes. I'm sorry. The delegate will be Mary Durbin, D-U-R-B-I-N. The alternative delegate will be Terry Hepler, H-E-P-L-E-R. And the nominating committee will be Alice Smallbone, M-A-L-B-O-N-E. And we need 25 seats.
Thank you. Washington Council of the Blind, 11 votes.
Madam
I've been
Secretary,
waiting for you, Washington.
The beautiful state, the Evergreen State, will have as the delegate Burl Colley, that's B-E-R-L-C-O-L-L-E-Y. Alternate delegate would be Lynette Romero, L-Y-N-E-T-T-E-R-O-M-E-R-O. And Burl Colley will be the representative at the nominating committee meeting. We'll need 40 chairs.
Thank you. Badger Association of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 23 votes.
Her phone's not working. Either way.
No, it is. I'm Terry Goodrich, and I'm the delegate. The name is spelled T-E-R-R-I, Goodrich, G-O-O-D-R-I-C-H. Alternate delegate is Adrian DeBlay, that's A-D-R-I-A-N, capital D-E, capital B-L-A-E-Y. He will also serve on a nominating committee, and we need 10 chairs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wyoming Council of the Blind, one vote.
Is Wyoming here tonight? I don't think they're here, Donna.
Okay. Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, 3 votes.
Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, the delegate will be Carl Foley, C-A-R-L, Foley, F-O-L-E-Y. The alternate delegate will be Teddy Joy Remhild, T-E-D-D-I-E, hyphen J-O-Y. Last name R-E-M-H-I-L-D, and Teddy Joy Remhild will be the member of the nominating committee, and we need 8 chairs.
Thank you. American Blind Lawyers Association. 3
American
votes.
Blind Lawyers Association, the delegate will be Ellen Telker, T as in Tom, E-L-K-E-R. The alternate will be Steve Spiker. I think you know how to spell his name. And nominating committee will be Tom Bergender. B as in boy, U-R-G-U-N-D-E-R. And, well, I don't know, probably 3 chairs.
Thank you. Your delegate, what was the first name? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we got it.
ACB Government Employees, 2 votes.
Andy Baracco, B-A-R-A-C-C-O, will be the delegate. Kathleen Brockman, B-R-O-C-K-M-A-N, will be the alternate. Andy Baracco will be on the nominating committee. And Madam Secretary, I may have to call you early and apologize because I think those are the right people. In any case, I think we need 5 chairs because I'm not sure where everybody's sitting.
Thank you. American Council of the Blind Lions, 15 votes.
Madam Secretary, Alan Beatty here. Ruth Baer will be our delegate on the floor. B-A-E-H-R. Her husband, George Baer, is the alternate. Ruth will serve on the nominating committee. And we request 10 chairs.
Oh, who's on nominee?
Ruth Baer.
Ruth. Okay. And 10 chairs. Thank you.
Thank you.
ACB Radio Amateurs, 2 votes.
ACB Radio Amateurs, Mike Duke will be the delegate. Robert Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S, a different one from the one in North Carolina, will be the alternate. And Mike Duke will serve on the nominating committee. Our members will sit with their respective states' delegations.
Thank you. Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays, 3 votes.
The delegate is Connie David. The alternate delegate is Rob Hill. The delegate to the nominating committee is Harvey Miller. And we would like 9 chairs.
Harvey Miller?
Yes, M-I-L-L-E-R.
And 9 chairs?
Yes.
Thank you. Braille Revival League, 10 votes.
Braille Revival League, the delegate is Deanna Quietwater Noriega. D-E, capital A-N-N-A, capital Q-U-I-E-T-W-A-T-E-R. Noriega is N-O-R-I-E-G-A. The alternate is Jim Kracht, K-R-A-C-H-T. And Deanna Quietwater Noriega will be the nominating committee.
And how many chairs would you like?
3.
Thank you. Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, 9 votes.
This is Patricia Beattie, president of CCLVI, and I will be the delegate. The alternate will be our immediate past president, Ken Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. And the representative to the nominating committee will be our first vice president, Bernice, B-E-R-N-I-C-E, Kandarian, K-A-N-D-A-R-I-A-N. We will need 10 chairs, please.
Thank you. Council of Families with Visual Impairment, 3 votes.
How many votes was that?
3.
3. Phyllis Burson, that's P-H-Y-L-L-I-S, B-U-R-S-O-N. I will be the delegate. Susan Crawford, C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D, is the alternate delegate. And Patricia Beattie, B-E-A-T-T-I-E, is our representative to the nominating committee. And I think we would like to have 3 chairs.
Thank you. Friends in Art of ACB, 2 votes.
Friends in Art of ACB. Those 2 votes surprise me, but I'm not the president. This is just Janice Peterson, former president. And our our delegate will be Gloria Broderick, B-R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K.
Alternate?
Our alternate is, as given to me, Michael Byington, and I believe that is a conflict with other representation.
Yes.
So we will revisit this and advise you tomorrow. And Gloria will serve as the delegate to the nominating committee. And Friends in Art is proud to be the purveyors of the showcase. And we will look for all of you there Tuesday night.
How many chairs would you like?
I think we'd say 5.
Thank you. Guide Dog Users Incorporated, 25 votes.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, this is Debbie Grubb, President of Guide Dog Users Incorporated. Sheila Styron, S-T-Y-R-O-N, will serve as our delegate. Kim Charlson, C-H-A-R-L-S-O-N, will serve as our alternate delegate. And I, Debbie Grubb, G-R-U-B-B, will serve as the delegate to the nominating committee. And since most of our members will be sitting with their state affiliates, we'll just have 3 chairs. Thank you.
Independent Visually Impaired Enterprisers, 4 votes.
Independent Visually Impaired Enterprisers, our delegate is Artis Bazin. Our alternate delegate is Jeanette Gerard, and that's J-E-A-N-N-E-T-T-E, I'm sorry, one N, Gerard, G-E-R-R-A-R-D. And our We do not have a nominating person yet, and we will decide that at our breakfast meeting, and I'll get back to you on that one. Thank you.
How many chairs would you like?
Just give us 10 chairs, because most of us will sit with our delegations.
Thank you. Library Users of America, 4 votes.
Hello, I'm Sharon Strakowski, the acting president. I will be the delegate, and that's SharonStrazalkowski. The alternate is Winifred Downing, Downing. I, Sharon Strakowski, will be the nomination committee representative, and we will be sitting with our delegations.
Thank you. National Alliance of Blind Students, 4 votes.
National Alliance of Blind Students, Gabe Griffith, G-A-B-E, last name G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H. I will be the delegate, and N-G Wu, E-N-J-I-E, last name W-U, will be the alternate delegate and also the delegate to the nominating committee. And we would like 20 chairs.
Thank you. We're almost finished, folks. National Association of Blind Teachers, 2 votes.
Madam Secretary, Patty Slavy, S-L-A-B-Y, will be our representative to the nominating committee. Marcia Dresser will be the delegate, M-A-R-C-I-A-D-R-E-S-S-E-R. And Granger Ricks will be the alternate, G-R-A-N-G-E-R-R-I-C-K-S. And we'll need 3 chairs.
Thank you. Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America, 25 votes.
Madam Secretary, the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America, who are very proud to be an affiliate of the American Council for the Blind, have serving as its delegate this year, Mr. Ron Eller, alternate delegate, Mr. Art Stevenson, and our nominating person will be Mr. Charlie Glazier, and we need 5 chairs.
Thank you. Visually Impaired Data Processors International, 2 votes.
I'm Robert Rogers, president of VidPIM, the one from Ohio, not South Carolina. I detect there may be a conflict here. I, Robert Rogers, am the delegate for VidPI. Frank Welty, W-E-L-T-E, is an alternate. And I am the delegate to the nominating committee. And very possibly they may have to withdraw my name as alternate from ACVRA. We'll have to work it out accordingly.
This is Mike Duke. We'll take care of the ACVRA alternate and get back with you tomorrow.
And we'll need 3 chairs.
Thank you. Visually Impaired Veterans of America, 2 votes.
John Fleming will be the delegate and the nominating committee. And Linda Burris, B-U-R-R-I-S, will be the alternate delegate. And we'll need 8 chairs.
Thank you very much. Mr. President, that completes the roll call
Madam,
of the affiliate.
Madam Chair.
However, I would like to thank all of you who sent in by email your delegate information. It helped a great deal. Hopefully we can have more next year. All but 6 affiliates are on the leadership list. So the more that are sent in, the faster this will go next year. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Sanford Alexander from the Credentials Committee.
Yes, sir.
We'd like to please clarify the National Association of Blind Students. Could you? And I have several other questions the committee raises.
The
National Association of Blind Students has 4 votes.
Okay, and do we have who they are delegate and?
Yes.
What is the issue, Sanford?
I was just clarifying because the other questions that we had 2 people that were listed as representing the nominating committee, and they are on the Board of Publications, and we raised the question and don't know the answer if they are eligible to serve because they're on BOP.
Yes, they're eligible to serve. Whether they're on the BOP or not is not relevant to that particular task.
Okay, and then we did have several conflicts, but we seem to be aware of all of them, and the chair raised the question, chair of the committee, whether those conflicts could be reappointed at a later date or if they had to be designated this evening.
No, they don't have to be designated this evening. In fact, technically, you can be an alternate delegate from more than one affiliate. However, you may not cast a vote for 2 affiliates as a delegate should you end up moving up from alternate to delegate position. That is the official way that it works.
Mr. President, the committee appreciates the clarifications and the indulgence of the body for letting us raise them.
Not a problem. Thank you very much. Thank you, Donna, for calling the roll. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention, your endurance, and your spirit this first night of our convention. We're in recess.
What is it, Charlie?
And that concludes the first general session of the 42nd Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. We are back at 8 Eastern tomorrow morning, which is 12 Universal Time. And at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, which is in about 3/4 of an hour, this general session will begin to replay. Now, let me quickly go through some of the email that we've received. We say hi to Chris from Missouri. He's tuned in, and we appreciate you getting in touch with us. Also, Darla Dahl, she's in Georgia, and listening to ACB. And thank you for your kind thoughts as well, Darla. Barbara Lombardi. General sessions, are they available after they are live? Yes, they are. They should be available for download quite soon if all the technology works, but also they replay pretty quickly afterwards as well. Sean Cox from the VAB, nice to hear from you, Sean. We'll do our best to pass on your good wishes. And Ray Washburn is tuned in as well. Thank you for your email. Debbie from Louisville. See, I know how to say that. That's one of the great advantages of having worked for ACB. I know how to say Louisville. And Debbie says, do you have to download sessions if you can't listen to them live? You can download them, but you'll also be able to stream them online. Just check the convention page on the ACB Radio site, and we'll make those links live just as soon as we can. Rebecca Kragnes has been in touch. Nice to hear from you, Rebecca. One of the great stars of the ACB Radio Cafe, of course. She asks, what formats is People of Vision coming out in? All formats eventually, but my understanding is that the audio and braille are not available yet. However, you can go to the ACB store, either from the ACB radio website or the ACB website, and you can purchase a copy of People of Vision and get the print as well as an accessible CD version which has a PDF that is readable. I know because I've read it myself. And as Jay mentioned during the general session, we heard from Pat Price. Wonderful to hear from you, Pat, and congratulations on your very well-deserved award. So those are some of the people who have been in touch with convention at acbradio.org, and we'll look forward to getting more of your email in coming days. We are back at around about 8 Eastern tomorrow morning, 12 Universal. Don't panic if we're a little late because business itself doesn't start until 8:30 Eastern. Thank you for your tuning in. This is Jonathan Mosen signing off for this evening from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.